It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Amen. God is good. Good morning, everyone. It is the 30th, the last day of the month. May God richly bless each and every one of you. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Good morning. Let's pray. Eternal Father in heaven, loving Lord, we thank you for this time to be able to come together and to be able to worship you. We thank you for giving us this hour of time to spend in your word, and we just pray that your spirit will come and teach us what we need to know. We ask that you would anoint the words of our pastor as you fill him with your spirit, and we pray that each of us would be able to grow in grace and wisdom as we're gaining knowledge and understanding, to be able to draw close to you and to share this with others. For all things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time. It's about time. It's about time for the coming.
You know, my brothers and sisters, God is so good, and I just thank him for his word. We need to be staying in the word. It will guide us, because sometimes we can have misguided, even religious concepts, you know, and we'll talk about that in our message today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for just the blessings that you have given to us. Thank you so much that heaven is in control, even of this crazy world. You allowed Satan to show his cards so that the world may choose. Unfortunately, even though we suffer, most of us as humans choose the devil. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it, and wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But Lord, we pray that some soul will come closer to Christ as a result of this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were to ask the average Christian, should we be rich in the Spirit? They would say, yes, we should be rich in the Spirit. And, you know, if you look that up in the Bible, at least in the King James Version of the Bible, which is the most authentic version, the version of Protestantism, in English, you won't find the command to be rich in spirit. Now, we can be full of the Spirit because we empty ourselves of self, and the Spirit can fill the vacuum. But that is because we were poor in spirit. The Bible teaches us that we must be poor in spirit. What does that mean? We're going to be going through the Beatitudes. Because these should be our attitudes, okay? The Bible is full of prophecy, yes. The Bible is full of wonderful teachings and doctrines, but it is also full of practical life lessons and relationship-building models for the Christian. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Again, if you ask the average Christian without reading that verse, should we be rich in the spirit or rich in spirit? They would say, yes, yes. The Bible doesn't say it. It says we should be poor in spirit. What does that mean? I draw your attention to a wonderful book written by a woman with a third grade education. It's entitled The Mount of Blessing, or Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing. And I'm going to be reading to you the chapter entitled The Beatitudes, but it brings out the message of what it means to be poor in spirit. Okay? He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 5, 2 and 3. As something strange and new, these words fall upon the ears of the wondering multitude. Such teaching is contrary to all they have ever heard from priest and or rabbi. They see in it nothing to flatter their pride or to feed their ambitious hopes. But there is about this new teacher a power that holds them spellbound. The sweetness of divine love flows from his very presence as the fragrance from a flower. His words fall like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth, Psalm 72:6. All feel instinctively that here is one who reads the secrets of the soul, yet who comes near to them with tender compassion. Their hearts open to him, and as they listen, the Holy Spirit unfolds to them something of the meaning of that lesson, which humanity in all ages so needs to learn. In the days of Christ, the religious leaders of the people felt that they were rich in spiritual treasure. The prayer of the Pharisee. God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men. And you know what? I don't like that version. I'm going to take you to Luke 18, verse 11. I think that sometimes men tend to try to improve upon the things that God has given to us. And I'm going to give that to you in the King James Version. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. That's what it says in the King James. So I believe that this was added somewhat in this book, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, this revised version. Okay? So I thank thee that I am not as, and then as this publican, express the feeling of his class. In other words, he was expressing his high class, and to a great degree of the whole nation. But in the throng that surrounded Jesus, there were some who had a sense of their spiritual poverty. When in the miraculous draught of fish, the divine power of Christ was revealed, Peter fell at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So in the multitude gathered upon the mount, there were souls who, in the presence of his purity, felt that they were wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Revelation 3:17. And they longed for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Titus 2:11. In these souls, Christ's words of greeting awakened hope. They saw that their lives were under the benediction of God. You see, brothers and sisters, we can be that way too. We can think that because we keep the Sabbath, because we know the truth about the state of the dead, that that somehow puts us on a higher plane with God. It does not, okay? When we understand how sinful we are, how wretched we are, how much in need of a Savior we are, how unworthy we are, we will be like Peter, Lord. But we won't say, depart from me. He didn't understand the plan of redemption. But we would say, I'm a sinful man. But we would ask for more of his Spirit. We would sense our great need, brothers and sisters. See, God can't heal some of us because of our pride. He can't help some of us because of our pride. He cannot bless some of us because of our pride. Pride goes deep, brothers and sisters. And we need to recognize that our pride might be keeping the blessing of God from us. You know, when somebody, pride can have many different faces, okay? Pride can have many different faces. Some of us would not open our hearts to be corrected. Some of us would, you know, want the highest place, okay? Pride has many faces. We've got to be humble. We've got to be teachable. We've got to be willing to be corrected by God and whoever God sends to us, my brothers and sisters, to correct. That's why the Bible says in the multitude of counselors there is safety. If you talk to any good, successful behavioral scientist that's a Christian, okay? And when I say that, I'm talking about people that are professional counselors, social people in social work, people that counsel, they will tell you that any good counselor always has a counselor because they recognize that we can be so much in the forest that we don't see the trees around us. And we all need counsel, brothers and sisters, all of us. And so that's what I'm talking about. Some people, you can't give them any counsel because they would reject it because of, what's that word? P-R-I-D-E, pride. And so, my brothers and sisters, this is what it's talking about. It's God is trying to start the Beatitudes, which should be our attitudes, striking at the very heart of what keeps God from blessing us. We struggle with pride. You know, pride doesn't mean that you yell and scream and whatever. Pride can be looking at somebody else's failures and choosing to say, well, look at what they're doing. I'm surely not going to, I'm not as bad as that, even though they might be trying to tell me something. I'm not going to listen to them because look at them. You see, that's pride, brothers and sisters. They're not going to save you and they can't make you be lost. What is Jesus saying to you? Pride has many faces. And let me tell you another face of pride that very few people even know. When all you talk about is you, even if it's saying nobody loves me, he didn't shake my hand. He didn't call on me. Do you know that low self-esteem is a form of pride? Yes, it is, brothers and sisters, because it's all about you. An arrogant person, I'm the greatest. I'm the best. Nobody can beat me. It's the same thing. Nobody loves me. Everybody beats me. Nobody cares about me. It's the same thing. So when you understand that Jesus came, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, controller of all the gold of this earth, and walks on streets of gold, and he came, left all of that to come down and die on a cruel cross for you and for me. If you have a low self-esteem, it pulls you up. If you're way up in the clouds in pride and you realize what he did for you, it pulls you down, and then we're all on level ground at the foot of the cross. Pride can have many faces, brothers and sisters. So let's be unprideful and poor in spirit. In these souls, Christ's words of greeting awakened hope. They saw that their lives were under the benediction of God. Jesus had presented the cup of blessing to those who felt. Jesus had presented the cup of blessing to those who felt that they were rich and increased with goods, Revelation 3:17, and had need of nothing. And they turned with scorn from the gracious gift. He who feels whole, who thinks that he is reasonably good and is contented with his condition, does not seek to become a partaker of the grace and righteousness of Christ. Oh, I think I'm all right. Yeah, I do a little of this, a little bit of that, but I'm basically a good person. If that's your mindset, you're going to hell without Jesus, my brothers and sisters. That's right. God wants us to feel, we have to know that without him, we can do nothing. It's going to be a lot of people, that good people that go to hell. Yes, I said it. There's going to be a lot of good people, people that would never steal your wallet, people that would help you out in a crisis. There's going to be a lot of good people that go to hell. It's not our goodness that makes us heaven bound. It is a relationship with God where we would follow him wherever he goes, where we have a state of full surrender to the master. You're not going to heaven because you go to church on Sabbath or Sunday. You're going to heaven if you love Jesus. And if you love him, yes, you will keep his commandments because he said so in John 14. But, brothers and sisters, it's him doing it in us. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How? Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You cannot be full of the Spirit unless you are poor in spirit, brothers and sisters. Some people have it wrong. They think they're rich in the Spirit, and they are actually on their way to perdition. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Reading on. Pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings he came to give. There is no room for Jesus in the heart of such a person. Those who are rich and honorable in their own eyes do not ask in faith and receive the blessing of God. They feel that they are full, therefore they go away empty. Those who know that they cannot possibly save themselves or of themselves do any righteous action are the ones who appreciate the help that Christ can bestow. Friends, is that you? Do you realize that you can do nothing righteous without God? I didn't say you can't. I'm talking about, see, God measures it by the motive. I'm not saying you didn't go and do something good. I'm talking about true righteousness from the heart. You can't do that without God. They are the poor in spirit, whom he declares to be blessed. Whom Christ pardons, he first makes penitent. And it is the office of the Holy Spirit to convince of sin those whose hearts have been moved by the convicting Spirit of God. See that there is nothing good in themselves. They see that all they have ever done is mingled with self and sin. Like the poor publican, they stand afar off, not daring to lift up so much as their eyes to heaven and cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Luke 18:13. And they are blessed. There is forgiveness for the penitent. For Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, John 1:29. God's promise is, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, Isaiah 1:18, Ezekiel 36:26-27. Of the poor in spirit, Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom is not, as Christ's hearers had hoped, a temporal and earthly dominion. Christ was opening to men the spiritual kingdom of his love, his grace, his righteousness. See, a lot of people think that we've got to bring the kingdom of God into the White House and into Congress, and so they're going to try to push an agenda of Christianity in these circles. They should just be Christians in their own lives and keep the church out of the state. Be righteous, be wise. The Constitution does not support the killing of any being, any human being. It does not. So that's a perversion of the Constitution, the pushing of abortion. It's a perversion of the Constitution doesn't promote marrying of a man and a man and a woman and a woman. That's not a constitutional topic. That's therefore it's not a civil right. Okay. And thus the government can adjudicate and legislate, but not with constitutional protection for me to choose who I sleep with. That's just not a constitutionally protected act. Okay. I'm choosing who I sleep with, who I fornicate with. That's not a constitutionally protected act, brothers and sisters. Neither is it a constitutionally protected act to stay in power or to have an insurrection so the one you want to stay in power can stay in power. Brothers and sisters, we're in trouble. So a lot of this deals with the understanding of what the rights are that we have, constitutional rights, rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment, Fourth Amendment, they don't talk about killing babies. They don't talk about the choice of who you fornicate with, okay? It just doesn't talk about that. And so those aren't constitutionally protected rights. Brothers and sisters, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. But the solution is not what most people think. They think that forcing Christianity on the nation. And that's what the Bible predicts America in the Protestant America will do. That's what it predicts in Revelation 13, starting with verse 11, that it would speak as a dragon. The dragon brought forth. It's just that the two horns were Protestantism and Republicanism. It's going to be America, brothers and sisters, that does the most evil deeds that are about to take place on this earth, friends. That's what the Bible teaches, okay? That's what the Bible actually teaches, and the world will follow suit. They say in certain places, when America sneezes, the world catches a cold. And so we see that played out in prophecy. Reading on, Christ was opening to men the spiritual kingdom of his love, his grace, his righteousness. The end sign of the Messiah's reign is distinguished by the likeness of the Son of Man. His subjects are the poor in spirit, the meek, the persecuted for righteousness' sake. The kingdom of heaven is theirs, though not yet fully accomplished. The work is begun in them, which will make them meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 1:12. All who have a sense of their deep soul poverty, who feel that they have nothing good in themselves, may find righteousness and strength by looking unto Jesus. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He bids you, Matthew 11:28, he bids you exchange your poverty for the riches of his grace. We are not worthy of God's love, but Christ, our surety, is worthy and is abundantly able to save all who shall come unto him. Whatever may be your past experience, however discouraging your present circumstances, if you will come to Jesus just as you are, weak, helpless, and despairing, our compassionate Savior will meet you a great way off and will throw about you his arms of love and his robe of righteousness. He presents to us the Father clothed in the white raiment of his own character. He pleads before God in our behalf, saying, I have taken the sinner's place. Look not upon this wayward child, but look on me. Does Satan plead loudly against your souls, accusing of sin and claiming us as his prey? The blood of Jesus pleads with greater power. Surely one shall say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Dear Father in heaven, help us to be poor in spirit, humble vessels, allowing you to bless us, use us, comfort us, help us. I thank you, dear Father, and ask that your name be glorified because you are worthy. Please, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters, it's time now to transition to the wellness segment of our broadcast with the Ministry of Healing Song. We'll be hearing from Sister Donna, and she will be sharing with us on the subject, healing for soul and body. After the Ministry of Healing Song, we'll hear from Sister Donna.
But as I read the scriptures and I study the gospel, I hear his ministry of healing. None who came could ever leave him feeling worthless. He laid his hands upon the church. Many times the Savior's voice was the first sound that they heard. Christ's name, the first word they've ever spoken. He came to live his life for the needy and the suffering. His life was one of constant Christ our Savior could ever leave his side.
Amen. Praise God. All right, friends, we're going to be hearing from Sister Donna at this time. Good morning, Sister Donna.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you and Maria. I hope you both are well. And good morning to everyone on the line. I'm going to be reading today a reading with the caption, Healing for Soul and Body. Many of those who came to Christ for help had brought disease upon themselves, yet he did not refuse to heal them. And when virtue from him entered into these people, they were convicted of sin. Many were healed of their spiritual disease as well as their physical maladies. The paralytic found in Christ healing for both soul and body. He needed health of soul before he could appreciate health of his body. Before the physical malady could be healed, Christ must bring relief to the mind and cleanse the soul from sin. This lesson should not be overlooked. Thousands today who are suffering from physical disease are, like the paralytic, longing for the message, your sins are forgiven. The burden of sin with its unrest and unsatisfied desires is the foundation of their malady. They can find no relief until they come to the healer of the soul. The peace that he alone can impart would restore vigor to the mind and health to the body. The effect produced upon the people by the healing of the paralytic was as if heaven had opened and revealed the glories of the better world. As the man who had been cured passed through the throng, blessing God at every step and bearing his burden as if it were a feather's weight, the people stepped back to give him room. With awe-stricken faces, they gazed upon him, whispering softly among themselves, "We have seen strange things today." That comes out of Luke 5:26. In the home of the paralytic, there was great rejoicing when he returned to his family, carrying with ease the couch upon which he had been borne slowly from their presence only a short time before. They gathered around him with tears of joy, hardly daring to believe their eyes. He stood before them in the full vigor of manhood. Those arms that they had seen lifeless were quick to obey his will. The flesh that had been pallid and shrunken was now fresh and ruddy. He walked with a firm, free step. Joy and hope were written in every feature of his face, and an expression of purity and peace had taken the place of the marks of sin and suffering. Glad thanksgiving went up from that home, and God was glorified through his Son, who had restored hope to the hopeless and strength to the stricken one. This man and his family were ready to lay down their lives for Jesus. No doubt dimmed their faith. No unbelief marred their allegiance to him, who had brought light into their darkened home. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases. That's Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3. You see, it required nothing less than creative power to restore health to that decaying body. The same voice that spoke life to man, created from the dust of the earth, has spoken life to the dying paralytic. And the same power that gave life to the body had renewed his heart. He who at creation spoke and it was, who commanded and it stood fast, had spoken life to the soul dead in trespasses and sin. The healing of the body was an evidence of the power that had renewed the heart. Christ commanded the paralytic to arise and walk, that you may know, he said, that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, and he will heal you. Be blessed, brothers and sisters. Thank you.
Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to have our sharing and caring time. We start with Facebook. We've got Sister Vicky out of Georgia saying good morning to us all. We've got Sister Salita out of Virginia saying good morning to us all. We have Brother Peyton saying the same, good morning to us, and out of North Carolina. We've got Sister Kim, God bless you, from good morning. I'm not sure where she's from. We have Sister Glorious out of Virginia saying good morning as well. And on the call, we have representation from Ohio. We have Ohio again. We have Ohio again. We have Maryland. We have Alabama. We have Pennsylvania. We've got Maryland again and Maryland again. We have Delaware, 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 and Delaware. We've got Missouri. We've got Alabama again. We've got Oklahoma. We have Ohio again. We have Iowa and Georgia. Thank you all for joining us this morning. The time is yours. Just press star 6 if you have anything you'd like to share. God is good, getting colder, but it's warm in our hearts, friends. And we have Sister Desiree on the call. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pastor Ephraim and Sister Maria.
Good morning.
Are you able to? Good morning. Thank
yes,
you.
Ma'am. We can hear you fine.
Thank you. There was ever a message that I needed today along with that song.
Amen.
And all I can say is God be the glory, because I thank God more now for this particular message, because, you know, sometimes in our own head, I'll say me, in my own head, sometimes the devil just starts, you know, messing with me. You're not good enough. You're not this or that enough. You're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about spiritually. You're no good. And if I ever knew, I know that you're only mere men, sinners saved by grace as myself. But if I ever doubted, I could not doubt anymore, because what person, what man would give such a sermon as this? They wouldn't.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said, who would give such a sermon like this, a message like this, on pride? I never knew that low self-esteem, that woe is me, you know, even though it came for me, a series of events after events as a child, and it left me in a state of, I can't even tell you. And to know that God has been trying to pull me up for years, for a long time. And for this message to be spoken as it is, I'm like, whoa, because sometimes you don't understand. Like you say, blessed are those that are poor in spirit. And it's like, wow, because you can see those who, you know how you can see others, but you can't see yourself. And you see those who are overconfident and pride, and they don't see it. And then I said, oh, wow, here I am with low self-esteem, didn't see it. As pride, had no idea. So all these things we go through, you know, I was just talking about temperance yesterday to someone, and I did good all day. But late last night, oh, my gosh, I was so intemperate. And I just said, oh, Father, you know, I have much work to be done, but I just thank God for this this message. It just shows, you know, the fairly. So I was just like, wow, who would give such a message? You know, you can't get that if you, you know, I don't know, not to look at you or your ministry, but to be like, if I ever doubted, I should not doubt anymore. This is what I'm saying.
Praise God.
Nobody would give anything like this and say, and I hope not, because I would not, I don't want to be lost. You did everything else, but this was the one thing standing and it balances with your walk with Christ. Was P-R-I-D-E, and big and loud.
That's
rather,
right.
You're overconfident, because sometimes people say or do things to get attention, and the one thing that keeps me humble, I got to find that scripture, he said, and for that will be their just reward. So whatever we do to get attention to ourselves, that's our just reward. That's
mm-hmm.
our reward. Can you imagine? That's your reward. God doesn't have to come back with a reward. That's your reward right there. That's our reward.
Yeah.
So when I realized I would do things for attention, I stopped and I asked God to help me to be conscious, to be conscious of my wrongdoing,
mm-hmm.
to be conscious when I'm trying to draw attention to self, to my flesh, to be conscious that rather it's through my speaking or my actions,
mm-hmm.
or if I'm greeting someone, you know, we can put people down without even with a smile on our face, you know, and they don't even know it. You know, that's evil. I'm just saying, like, you know, God, I was never that way. Don't pick up those habits. So I'm going through a transition myself in the process. So I thank God for that this message this morning. And I just like to say, and I just wanted to say this. This is no correction, but I don't have a lot of Ellen White books or anything. I just use her app. And when I try to go back to the app and find the different things that yourself or Sister Donna or Lenny use, I can only go by chapters. Is there any way you could give me the chapter to Mount of Blessing? Because it won't go by pages. I can't find stuff in my phone through the pages. It's only through the chapters that I can find.
Yeah, chapter 2.
Chapter 2.
Yeah,
MB
is the book code. MB.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, like.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. You know, you would think that sometimes when you're looking, you're going alphabetical in the app. Because the name of the book is Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, even though the book code is MB, you have to go down to the T's to find it. It's not in alphabetical order.
Okay.
So this book is a wonderful book. It deals with Christ on that mountain, you know, so Matthew 5, Matthew 6, a lot of the things that Christ taught on the Mount of Blessing, that Sermon on the Mount, you know, that type of thing. That's there. So we're going to go through the Beatitudes.
I appreciate that because someone else had went through it, and when he went through that, it says that the poor in spirit means to be humble in Christ. Is that correct? To be humble?
Yeah, that's correct.
To be humble in Christ. And I also found out that being humble in Christ means to fast. I wanted to know if that was so too, but it says to be humble means to preparation, means to fast. It means to fast and pray. Not that you get anything, because sometimes people think, oh, I'm fasting and I'm this and that. But it's not that. It's like emptying of self to sort of draw near to him so he can draw nigh to you. I'm not saying it correctly, but you get the close, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The close.
Yeah, I don't know that I could teach that it means to fast because,
okay.
Of course, like you said so eloquently, a lot of people fast for self-righteous purposes. Jesus said you
right.
fast for, what did he tell the Pharisees? You fast for cumin and cumin and whatever, but you omit the weightier matters of the law. So people can have a religiosity and fast and pray and, you know, the Pharisees did all that kind of stuff, and
right.
but they were prideful. So, yeah, we should fast to get closer to God, to keep our minds more open to him. But I wouldn't say poor in spirit means that you fast.
Okay. So it's more like a cleansing and a filling, cleansing of those things that are unlike him and filling of the Holy Spirit in those places. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, fasting is a self-denial. It's a voluntary self-denial. And when done for the right reason and purpose, it opens the door for God to work in us. Because when we humble ourselves, you know, we are exalted. So fasting, but, you know, people can fast for the wrong reason. They can fast to be seen of men. They can fast, you know, out of prideful reasons. But when we deny ourselves and give ourselves more time and open our hearts and minds to receive more grace from the Spirit, and because appetite is such a strong urge, fasting is not easy to a lot of people, and that's what brings us closer to God, because you need Him. Lord, help me, because I want to eat. You know, so even the proper fasting will bring you closer to God, because you would be asking for His help in the fasting process.
Okay. And I just wanted Sister Donna to know, I was trying to find the first selected message in the app, in the page, but I said if I could get the chapter, because I'm not real good using that app, but the best I can, the only way I can find things is do a chapter or whatever. So I was looking for first, but it kept saying selected messages. But I said I can't find the chapter, because I knew what she was saying. I was trying to get it, but I said it's better for me to get the chapters instead of pages, because it just doesn't do it. It won't do it, or I can't find it, I should say. But that's it. That's all I wanted. If she could get that to me, I appreciate it. Chapter
sure,
she read.
Sure. Yeah. In the app, it's not going to show pages. So I don't know if Sister Donna can announce what the chapter title was.
And she had, it was when you were speaking about helpful living. I don't know. I can't remember. It was,
yeah, she might be muted. She might be muted because she's still on. Her mic is still on. So she might have she may have stepped away from her phone. So what we can do is, if she doesn't come back on and announce it, then we'll send a text out to her and ask her what chapter.
Please. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm sorry I took up so much time to anyone else.
Oh, no problem at all. No problem at all. All right. God bless you. Is there anybody else that wants to share anything before we close out this morning? We've got about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. If anybody had a question about yesterday was rather deep. Revelation 17 is very little known, understood, but we showed you the context of Revelation 17 and how that it was in 1798, because the papacy went into the wilderness in 1798. Therefore, of the seven, five had fallen. What were those five? Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, pagan Rome, papal Rome. Five had fallen in 1798 because the Pope was taken captive. It said one is. Well, who is the one is? That's the United States, because it was a rising power in 1798, and one is yet to come. That is the New World Order, which is still in the process of being formed. And then when it speaks about the one who they wondered after, he is the eighth, but is of the seven. They're going to give honor and glory to the papacy. Not that the papacy is going to do anything great or anything significant. I shouldn't say great. I just mean anything significant. The significant actions of the papacy are over. The significant actions come from the image beast. That's the United States of America leading out in a Sunday worship movement. And for those, everybody wasn't on yesterday, so I'm repeating that concept. But read Revelation 17. And if you find yourself being confused by the one that was, that is not, and yet is to come, that's talking about the papacy in its condition in 1798. Okay? So it was because it had fallen. It is not because in 1798 it was in its wilderness. The Pope was in the dungeon of Napoleon. But he is to come. That means he would come out of the bottomless pit and all the world would wonder after the beast. We even see that now. So I hope that brief explanation helps some of you and maybe sparks those who weren't on yesterday to read that chapter. All right, we've got Sister Lenny on the call. Good morning, Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Thursday. You know, this morning I'm constantly being awakened in the early parts of the morning to pray for people. Now, this morning, I feel like I was supposed to pray for Beyonce and Oprah. Now, of course, I know who they are. I don't watch them, but I know exactly who they are. And I don't know why this is happening. I'm a little tired this morning, but I did pray for them. I don't know what's going on with them. I pray for everybody in Hollywood. I do. Mm-hmm, I pray mm-hmm. for these actresses, and I just pray for a lot of people. And so this morning, I am asking that we pray for her as a whole, Beyonce mm-hmm. and Oprah. Like I said, I don't know really what's, I don't follow them. I don't know what's going on with them, but I tell you, I feel drained this morning because I was just praying so hard for them. So I'm asking that you would do the same for them.
Yeah.
Pray for them, and thank you so much. And I'm praying for everyone on the line this morning. Thank you.
Amen. You know, I think that the Spirit of God is definitely, now I know the Spirit of God is moving, and we sometimes forget to pray for popular people, politicians, movie stars, actresses. But I'm going to tell you something. If you look at the history of many of these singers and actors, they started off in church. They mm-hmm. had a religious mm-hmm. upbringing, and then yeah. they went and got involved in spiritualism and Satanism and other things. But those things don't bring happiness. They don't bring peace. And so they've allowed the devil to now take control of their lives and their suffering because there's no peace to the wicked. So we know they can smile in front of a camera, but I'm here to tell you they don't have joy and peace. Mm-hmm. And so let's definitely do that. Beyonce and Oprah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just so strong, so thank you so mm-hmm. much.
Amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. All right then, brothers and sisters. So at this time, we will have our closing prayer. If Sister Donna is on the line, can you text me, or unless you want to go ahead and announce it, it's been requested that the chapter title of that reading be given. So if you're, you can either text that to me and I can get that to Sister Desiree, or if you want to announce it real quickly, we can do that.
Is that the reading for today?
Yes, ma'am.
That comes out of the Ministry of Health and Healing, and it began on page 36.
Okay, she made reference to something from Selected Messages, so maybe she was referring to another day. You didn't say anything about Selected Messages today?
No, not today. Maybe it was yesterday. That came out of Healthful Living. Yeah, I have to text that to you because, Resistance Against Disease. Yeah, that was Healthful Living, page 68.
Okay, do me a favor. If you wouldn't mind, just kind of scroll through, maybe just go like toward the end of the, because some of those are compilations. And if you wouldn't mind going toward the end of the reading and see if you see anything that has any reference to Selected Messages in the referencing that might have been mentioned. And if so, let me know, and then I'll get it to Sister Desiree. She just said she remembered hearing something about Selected Messages. So I didn't remember.
I'll scroll through it and get it back to you.
Okay, great, great. All right, we'll turn it over to my wife Undreamed Of at this time, brothers and sisters, to have our closing prayer at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your word, and we ask that we will continue to allow your spirit to teach us things so that we can have understanding, gaining wisdom, knowledge. And we pray, Lord, that we'll be able to share these things in such a way with those who don't know you, but will come into an understanding of just how awesome our God is. We ask that you will bless our day as we go about doing service, and we ask that we will always pause throughout the day asking you for direction, for instruction, for counsel, for guidance, for deliverance, Lord. There are so many things that each of us are going through and struggling with, and we need your help. We can't do anything without you, but we know that with you, all things are possible. May we trust in your word and your promises that you will help to carry us through our trials, our burdens. And we pray, Lord, that we can cast these matters into your everlasting hands. We ask that you will be with those that are
needing special prayers. We want to lift up to you Sister Leonie's daughter. We know that yesterday she had to go to court. We don't know if there's been any update from that outcome of what took place, but we do pray that all was favorable for her, and we ask, Lord, that you would be with the other daughter who is not well, that she will have soon health recovery. And we want to lift up to you, Sister Kevin. We know she's going to be leaving shortly to go to see her family out of the States. And we just pray for her traveling mercies, and we pray that you would bless mm-hmm. that visit. We want to pray, Lord, that you would be with Sister Wanda's daughter, Jessica. We want to keep her lifted before you. Please bring this daughter of yours back home. Bring her back to a place where she can be healed from the snares of the devil, delivered from her addictions, and protected. And we pray, Lord, that all would be able to help her in these recovery efforts. We pray that you will be with Sister Leonie, that you will guide her, Lord, as she is there at that new residence. We just pray that the friends that she encounter would not influence her in any way that would take her away from truth, but would keep her in an active position to be a witness to you as she ministers unto them. And may she stand firm in her belief and in strong in her convictions. And we ask that you would protect her in these efforts. We pray that you would be with Sister Desiree. I want to pray special prayer for her to have victory, Lord, over being intemperance. Let her be able to see and to know that you can help her to be a winner in this area of her life. And may she always seek you for the ability to be able to have that, to be able to gain it and to win it. And we pray that you will bless her in these efforts. Lord, we know that there are many celebrities that are caught up in the snare of the devil, the billionaire club that Oprah and Beyonce and all these other celebrities have obtained has been by the snares of the devil, his great deception. We just ask that you will, in some way, Lord, allow your spirit to come into their lives. We know that they are very much caught up in everything that Satan has placed before them. And we just leave these daughters to you because they are your children. And we just ask that you will work out things in accordance with your will. We want to also pray, Lord, that you will be with our friends that are in bondage. We ask that their release will come soon, and that they will be able to get their children back and be able to work in your harvest. There are other petitions that have been set forth, Lord, and we know that you have answered many of them, and we know that you are still working on others, and we thank you for that. We do want to keep Sister Angela's Bible studies with Pam in prayer. We know that she's been studying with her, and there have been some difficulties, but there has also been blessings, and we ask that you will continue to be with Sister Angela through your spirit, guiding her and leading her in these efforts. And we just pray, Lord, that you will just answer us as you will have it to be, as we seek you in all matters of our lives. We thank you for hearing us and being with us, and we look forward to the time when we can see our lovely Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will.